Open your Bibles to Matthew 18. Matthew, the 18th chapter. Well, I've shared with many of you, and some of you have picked up on the fact I've got a very bad cold. Spent most of Thursday evening kind of on the couch, or Friday evening, and last evening, and throat's not well. You say, what are you going to do? I'm going to preach. And I got a whole pocket full of Hall's cough drops here. And they got me a whole stack of tissues.
Yes, sir.
I'm ready. So here we go. I would appreciate your prayers. We can get rid of this thing. And just something that's going around and have to deal with it. We're going to be in Matthew chapter 18. I want you to look first at verse 7. Matthew 18. Jesus says there, woe unto the world because of offenses, for it must needs be that offenses come, but woe to that man by whom the offense cometh. I want you to jump down to verse 21. Then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Till seven times. Jesus saith unto him, I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times seven. And by the way, Jesus isn't saying 490. He's saying forgiveness is infinitive. As many times as somebody sins, you're to forgive. Look what else he says. Therefore, is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king, which would take account of his servants? And when he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him, which owed him 10,000 talents. But forasmuch as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife and children and all that he had, and payment to be made. The servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. Then the Lord said to the servant of that servant, was moved with compassion, and loosed him, and forgave him the debt. But the same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants, which owed him 100 pence, and he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, pay me that thou owest. And his fellow servant fell down at his feet, besought him, saying, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. Familiar story there, huh? But look at that next verse. And he would not, but went and cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sorry and came and told unto the Lord all that was done. Then his Lord, after that he had called him, said unto him, oh, thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt because thou desirest me. Shouldest not thou also have compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? And his Lord was wroth and delivered him to the tormentors till he should pay all that was due unto him. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if ye from your hearts forgive not everyone his brother their trespasses. Let's pray. Father, again, we're thankful for opportunity to be here. Lord, we sure missed church last Sunday morning. Thank you that we can be here this Sunday morning. And I'm thankful for all the folks who come to church today. And I believe they've come expecting something, looking for something. And Lord, we need you to fill our cup. We need you to do the work in our hearts. We need you to show up here and have your will and way and touch hearts and move in hearts. Father, I know that I can do nothing here of a spiritual value without you. And so I ask, Lord, just help us. I pray that you give me strength of voice, you know, that need. And Lord, I just want to be the messenger boy you have me to be. And I pray once again, speak to hearts. Help folks to realize, first of all, their need of Christ, that He is the one and only who can forgive their sin and give them eternal life and take them to heaven when they die. And then that we as believers would see the need to be a forgiving people. Just speak to our hearts about the matter now. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Practicing forgiveness. Practicing forgiveness. In Matthew 8:7, we find Jesus revealing one of the facts of life. One of those facts of life that we really wish was not a fact of life. In that verse, He reminds us that He says, it must needs be that offenses come. See, what Jesus is telling us is we're going to suffer offenses in this life. We're going to suffer offenses at the hands of others. If you still don't understand, He's telling us that others are going to do things and say things that hurt us and offend us. Wouldn't it be a wonderful life? Wouldn't it be a wonderful world if that was not true? Well, it's never going to happen this side of heaven because we're all human and subject to the frailties of humanity. Now, Jesus said, offenses are going to come. But we get down to verse 21 and through the end of the chapter. And there Jesus teaches us how we're to respond to offenses, to the wrongs done to us by other people. See, Jesus wants us to understand the proper response, the spiritual response believers are to show when offended, sinned against, or hurt by others is that of forgiveness. Now, excuse me, this idea of forgiveness is certainly not a new or principle. It's a biblical principle that is very familiar to all of us. We all know that Jesus taught and expects us to be a forgiving people. But the sad truth is this. There are multitudes of believers who have failed to follow Christ's teaching in this matter of forgiveness. Hey, let's face it. When others offend us, when people sin against us, it hurts. It causes emotional pain. Now, the natural response then is to react to our pain by seeking revenge or getting even, or maybe we'll just not take revenge or try to get even, but build an inner anger and resentment, maybe even bitterness, towards that person who hurt us. Now, one of the dangers in that kind of behavior is that kind of behavior is a sin of the heart. This idea of somebody hurt me and I'm not going to forgive them is a sin of the heart. And listen, it's one that we tend to justify in our own heart. Well, they hurt me. I'm not going to forgive them. I don't have to forgive them. But Jesus tells us, there is no justification for failure to forgive. Just as He has forgiven us, and He continues to do so when we sin against Him, so must we also forgive those who sin against us. And so this morning I want to speak to you on this idea, this subject of practicing forgiveness, and give you some reasons why we have to do that. Number one, we need to practice forgiveness because God commands us to forgive. Over in Colossians chapter 3, the Apostle Paul, led by the Holy Spirit, writes this in verse 13. Forbearing one another and forgiving one another, if any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. Turn in your Bibles to Ephesians if you can find it. Ephesians, if not, just kind of sit there and look at Matthew. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32. I love this verse. Paul again writing and says, "And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you." See, God commands us. By the way, a lot of people think God's commands are just suggestions. No, when God commands, it's a command. And God doesn't just say, it would be nice if you forgive. God says, believer, I'm commanding you, you need to be a forgiving person. We need to understand that. Now, we need to forgive those who sin against us. And of course, in verses 21 and 22 of our text, we saw that. And you know, God doesn't give any limitations there. He doesn't say, give a list of sins. You know, if somebody wronged you this way or did this to you or whatever, you forgive them. But if they did this, no. Doesn't matter what the offense is. We're supposed to forgive. Regardless of what they've done and regardless of how many times they've done it. Now, I'll tell you what, there's some hard sayings in the Bible, and that is a hard saying. You know, it's tough enough to forgive somebody when they offend you once or sin against you once or do you wrong once. But when they've done it over and over, boy, oh boy, let me tell you something. It takes a spiritual Christian to be forgiving at that point. But it's what we are required to do. Peter thought he was being such a spiritual man. He said, Lord, how many times should I forgive my brother? 7 times 7? Jesus said, I say unto thee until 7 times, but until 70 times 7, 490. Peter said 7 times? Jesus said no. As many times as he sins against you, you forgive him. You know, sometimes we think, well, I only have to forgive one time. No. Doesn't matter how many times. We are to be a forgiving people. You know, our forgiveness is supposed to be, the Bible says, just as God shows grace to us and forgives us, so must we forgive others. Have you figured out yet God's forgiveness for you is not deserved? We don't deserve forgiveness. What basis do we have to deserve forgiveness? We don't. Yet he's willing to forgive us. By the same token, others may not forgive or deserve our forgiveness. But we need to be God-like, Christ-like, and show them what God has shown us, grace. Simple definition of grace, getting what we don't deserve. That's why God has forgiven us. He's given us what we don't deserve. And we need to have that same kind of spirit towards other people and give them what they don't deserve and forgive them. So number one, we need to practice forgiveness because God makes it clear it's expected of us. It's commanded. And then secondly, we need to practice forgiveness because failure to forgive others hinders our fellowship with God. Go over to Mark chapter 11. Next book over. Mark chapter 11. Look at verse 24 there. Jesus says, therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire when ye pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them. And when ye stand praying, forgive if ye have aught against any, that your Father also which is in heaven may forgive you your trespasses. But if ye do not forgive, neither will your Father which is in heaven forgive your trespasses. Failure to forgive other people will cause God not to forgive us. You know, that gets a little confusing to people sometimes. They say, well, I thought when I got saved, God forgave my sins. He does. When you die and you stand before God, He will not remember one sin against you. You understand that? Our sins are under the blood of Jesus Christ as far as our salvation is concerned. But I want you to understand this. Our sins that we commit now can interrupt our fellowship with God. So what are you talking about? Well, we need to understand, even though we're saved, we still sin against God. 1 John, jump over there. Chapter 1. John's writing to believers here, and he says this in verse 8. Verse 8. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. So when I said we still sin against God, and you said, I don't sin against God, well, Bible says otherwise. Oh, wait a minute. Read on. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make Him a liar and His word is not in us. So, listen, God will never remember our sins against us as far as our salvation is concerned. But the sins that we commit here can interrupt our fellowship with God. What do you mean? He's not going to hear our prayers. Listen, if we continue in sin and we try to pray, God says He's not going to hear our prayers. You say, where'd you find that? Psalm 66 and verse 18. If I regard iniquity in my heart, He will not hear me. See, we often, you know, us fundamentalists, old-timers, we call it being on praying ground. What that means is we confessed our sin as best we know. We've come to God and said, God, I've sinned here and I've sinned here and I've sinned here. And God says, if I'll confess, He'll forgive. Are we agreed on that? So we're still sinners, and our sin will interrupt our fellowship with God. Step number three we need to realize, refusal, failure to forgive is sin. Well, where'd you get that? Well, back up to point one. Did God command us to forgive? If we break God's commands, is that sin? So, if I have failed to forgive somebody, I am not on praying ground. I am not in a right relationship or fellowship with God like I ought to be because there's something between me and Him. And that something is there's something between me and somebody else. We're going to have the Lord's Supper tonight. Over in 1 Corinthians 11, Paul's dealing with the Corinthians, and he's taking them to task because they've abused the Lord's Supper and things. And they had several things that were wrong when they came to the Lord's Supper. You know what one of them was? There were divisions among them. That means people had hard feelings towards one another and had not forgiven. And you know what Paul said about that? If you come around the Lord's table with that kind of thing, he said that's dangerous. He said some people were weak and some people were sickly and some people even died because they came around the Lord's Supper table and they had not taken care of those kind of issues. What's quiet in here? Listen, friend, I'm telling you the truth this morning. God expects us to be a forgiving people. And if I fail to forgive other people, it's going to hinder my spiritual life. If I fail to forgive other people, I have sin in my life, and my prayers aren't going to be heard, and I'm grieving the Holy Spirit of God, and it means I'm not listening to Him. Lord, there's just so much involved in this thing that will hinder us spiritually. But you know, there's another reason. Not just because God commands us, not just because failure to forgive others hinders our spiritual life, because forgiveness is our alternative to revenge. Have I ever wanted to get revenge? Yeah. Have you ever wanted to get revenge? Hey, let's be transparent. I'm transparent. I admit there have been times I want to get revenge. If you ever want to get revenge, hold up your hand. You know, that's not unusual. That is what we would call natural. See, because the natural man, the flesh man, the unsaved man, sees revenge as the right response when someone does something against them. That's just the natural man. Eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth, you know. You hit me, I'm going to hit you. But that's the natural man. The new man, by the way, the new man is the saved man. When I got saved, there was a new man created. The Bible says if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. So, before I got saved and someone did something to me, my opinion was, I'm going to get it. No, it wasn't I'm going to get even. It was I'm going to get one up. I'm not just going to get even. I'm going to get one up on you because you did something to me. But you know, after I got saved, God started working in my heart. And He said, that's not how a Christian ought to be. We don't seek revenge. And then I read how Jesus said, I'm supposed to deal with my enemies over Matthew 5. I'm supposed to love them and do good to them. Hey, you know, this Christian life isn't very easy. When I have enemies, it's hard for me to want to do good to them. Now, maybe you're more spiritual than me and you say, oh, it's not a problem for me. But for me, it's difficult. I knew a preacher one time and he had another preacher trying to destroy him. He was spreading bad rumors about him and all that kind of stuff, you know. And you know what that preacher did? He did a little research. He found out when that man's birthday was, anniversary was, his anniversary at his church and other special days. And he lived a distance from him. He would send him flowers or gifts or whatever on every one of those days. Why? Because the Bible said, do good to your enemies. By the way, it worked. The Bible says, you'll heap coals of fire on their head. And eventually it caused that man who was doing him all these wrong things to turn around and apologize and ask forgiveness. Now, it may not always work that way, but our part is, we're not supposed to seek revenge. New man. Jesus said, bless them that use or curse you and do good to them that hate you and pray for them which despitefully use you. And so as new creatures in Christ, we have to be forgiving. The world says get even. God says forgive. By the way, if you can find Romans, go over to there. We were just there this morning in Sunday school. Some of you weren't here for Sunday school. You should be. Amen, preacher. That's right. Be good to be in Sunday school. Learn some things. And that's just an advertisement. I have an adult Sunday school class. I'd sure like to see you there. Yeah. We're dealing with transformed lives in our Sunday school. And maybe you feel like you're as transformed as you need to be. Well, I guess I can't help you. But if you feel like there's still more room for transformation in your life, show up. Maybe God will do something in your heart. Okay, commercial's over. Let's go back to the Bible. Romans 12. You there? Verse 14. Bless them which persecute you. Bless and curse not. Go over to verse 17. You there? Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Hey, class, listen. So, preacher, you're saying people ought to be able to do me wrong and lie on me or whatever they want to do, sin against me, and I got to forgive them and they just get away with it? No. No, we forgive them and we turn the whole issue over to God. Father, I have to forgive them and I'm forgiving them. And I'm putting them in your hands. You said vengeance is yours and whatever you see fit. If you do nothing, that's your business. If you do, hey, it's not up to me. Can I tell you this? I've had a few occasions where I had to do that. Lord, I'm giving it to you. You take care of it. You know what I found out? He does a better job with vengeance than I ever would. By the way, if you're on the other side of that, if you're the one doing all the offending and stuff like that, some Christian may be turning you over to God. That's not a good place to be. See, if you're saved here today, the Bible says we're God's children. John chapter 1, verse 12, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons or children of God, even to them to believe on his name. So back when I got saved, I got born into God's family. Now I'm one of the king's kids. I'm his. You say, well, so what? Well, let me share with you. How is it when somebody picks on one of your kids? Better they pick on you, huh? See, so when somebody wants to pick on me, I just go to my daddy. Daddy! Picking on me. Now you told me I'm to forgive him. I'm going to forgive him. But I'm just reminding you, I'm yours. And you said vengeance. Because forgiveness keeps us from bitterness. How many of you have ever been around a person you know is bitter about something? How long did it take you to figure that out? About 30 seconds? You say, wait, what do you mean? Listen, when you get around somebody who's bitter about something, it'll take you about 30 seconds because they spew bitterness. I've been around bitter people. I've told you about a friend my wife has that's bitter about things that happened how long ago? 30 years? 30 years. Every time they have a conversation, the same thing comes up. 30 years! Same thing. That's bitterness. In Hebrews chapter 12, it talks about the root of bitterness. In verse 14 it says, follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord, looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. See, failure to forgive is like a poison. And it poisons your heart. Somebody said, failure to forgive is like drinking poison and hoping it hurts the other person. Huh? See, it's a poison, and the offense is down deep in your heart, and it continually affects your life. And failure to forgive plants that seed of bitterness down in your heart. Just a seed. And then that seed of bitterness down in your heart germinates, and according to Hebrews, becomes a root in your heart. And that root produces fruit in your life. Everything, you listen to me? Everything in a bitter person's life is viewed through that lens, through the eyes of bitterness. To the bitter person, nothing is rosy, nothing is bright, everything is dark, everything is tainted. There is no joy, there is no peace, there is no satisfaction. All there is bitterness. And by the way, bitterness is a poison that spreads to others. When somebody becomes bitter, I said, it spews out of them. Now, you get around somebody who's bitter and they spew their bitterness out on you. Well, you've got to react in one of two ways. You've got to side with them and say, yeah, you're right, and they're wrong, and you know, you shouldn't forgive them at all, and then you'll become bitter too. See, you'll share in their bitterness about it. Or you can say, hey, you're wrong, you're bitter, and that you just need to move on. But see, bitter people try to spread their bitterness. I remember somebody who was bitter, it seemed like everybody they talked to, that was the subject. No matter who they were talking to or what their situation was, they brought conversation to their particular area and their bitterness. Listen, friend, I'm trying to help you today. Bitterness will destroy you and never hurt the one you're bitter towards. See, here's the key. Forgiveness will kill that seed of bitterness. Before it ever get a chance to germinate, down in your heart, forgiveness will kill that seed and it will never develop in your heart. Each of us must practice forgiveness because forgiveness follows the pattern of the Lord Jesus Christ. Over in Peter, we're told that we're to walk in his steps, following the Lord Jesus Christ. A man wrote a great book, In His Steps. Build on that principle. We're to walk in the steps of Jesus. Listen, Jesus set the example for us of forgiveness. Do you remember? I think I lost one of my points. Yes, I did. Let me back up. Lost the point. I'll come back to it. Jesus set the example. Remember when he hung on a cross? In Luke 23 and verse 34, it tells us as he's hanging on that cross, one of the first things he said was, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And we say, wasn't that nice? Wasn't that nice of Jesus? Hey, he's hanging on a cross. These are the men who took him the night before and beat him, put a crown of thorns on his head, tore the beard out of his face, stripped him of his clothes and put a purple robe on him and blindfolded him and slapped him and mocked him and said, "Oh, tell us who hit you." These are the ones that took that cat of nine tails and literally ripped the flesh from his back. And when they were done with all that, they haul him out there to the hill of Calvary. And they put nails in his hands and nails in his feet and put him on that cross. And what's the first words out of his mouth? "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Think of the pain. Think of the suffering. Think of the mental anguish. Think of the embarrassment. Think of the fact that here's the one who could have called a legion of angels to destroy them, and he didn't do it. Instead, he says, "Forgive them." What an example. See, that's a pattern we need to follow. "Oh, preacher, they hurt me. Oh, they cut me deep. Oh, preacher, I don't know if I can bear this." You can bear it. And you've got to forgive it, because it'll eat you up if you don't. One more thing. And I lost this slide. I don't know how I did it. I'm always amazed at how things disappear in a computer. Any of you ever have that happen? You put it in there and you go for it and it's not there. Now, I know it was there yesterday. But I'm a firm believer in there's demons in these things, you know, these electronic things. But I'm going to give it to you anyway. One more reason that we have to be forgiving is because it keeps us from the principle of sowing and reaping. Galatians says, "Be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap." You know, that is a principle that is just across the board. What you sow, you reap. So let's apply it. If I sow failure to forgive, what am I going to reap? Failure to be forgiven. Anybody in here perfect? Nobody raised their hand. All right, here's what that means. That means all of us, from time to time, are no doubt guilty of offending, hurting, sinning against other people. Have you ever sinned against anybody? You ever hurt anybody? You ever done somebody wrong? Nod your little head like that. Yeah? Now, let me ask you this question. Do you want them to forgive you? Do you want them to be angry and mad and bitter at you? Or do you want them to forgive you? Well, the Bible says, if you're unwilling to forgive other people, then they're not going to forgive you. That's sowing and reaping. Listen, I realized a long time ago I'm not perfect. And no doubt I offend people. And when I offend somebody, I sure want them to forgive me. So I better be willing to forgive them. And one little other thing we read where God says that if you don't forgive others, he's not going to forgive you. Sowing and reaping principles. I don't know, it's been a little quiet in here this morning. And I don't know what God wants to do in your heart. I know this. God wanted this message preached today. I don't know if it's for you. And you know, I've said many times, people say to me, "You aimed that message at me." And I say, "You flatter yourself." I don't aim messages at anybody. I use a shotgun. See? So this morning, if this idea of being unforgiving hit you, God's trying to tell you something. And maybe in the invitation, maybe you need to just get on your face before God and ask forgiveness for being unforgiven. Maybe you need to come and say, oh God, I've been bitter. I went beyond unforgiving. I've been bitter in my heart. Help me. Forgive me. Cleanse me. Help me to forgive that one who wronged me. Listen, friend, it'd be a wonderful life if there was never an offense. Be a wonderful life if we could live our whole lives and nobody ever sinned against us or hurt us or say anything about us that's wrong or any of that kind of thing. But it's not going to happen. Learn to forgive. You know, if you learn to forgive, you'd be a lot happier person. Maybe you get your smile back. Maybe you get your joy back. Maybe you get your peace back. Let's bow our heads. Practicing forgiveness. Not just knowing about it. Not just talking about it. Not just thinking how wonderful it really is. Practicing it in our own lives. That's where we need to be. With your heads bowed, your eyes closed. I want to ask this question. How many in this room, I'm talking to saved people now, you know you're saved. How many Christians in this room would say, preacher, I believe I am, as much as I know how to be, forgiving person. People have wronged me. People have done bad things to me. But God's given me the ability to forgive them. He's enabled me, it's him, not me. But I thank him. I'm preaching this morning. I believe I am a forgiving person. Here's my hand. God bless you. God bless you. I wonder if there's some Christians in this room saying, preacher, boy, why stay on here? Preacher, I really messed this one up. I've been doing pretty good in some other areas before this one. So. And I'm willing to admit it. Here's my hand. Hold it up. God bless you. 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 I have not been willing to forgive. I'm pretty sure God's dealing with you today.